Yeah, baby, that's right. It is Sports Brew O'Clock. We are down here in the basement representing proper. I have got my man, the one and only D-Stat. That is right. Mark D. Thomas is actually large and in charge down here in the basement. We're going to see if he can actually get his little intro song correct and on time as we are down here representing. Lo and behold, what is up, brother man?
Doing well, sir.
Oh, I like to hear that.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
enjoying some fine beverages, a couple of tasty beers, a little bit of fireballs along the way.
That's right.
Man, that is some cinnamony. Is that a word? Cinnamony?
Cinnamony.
Cinnamony stuff. Cinnamony. That is mighty good. But it is the return of the mark. Are you ready for your little D-Stat woo?
Always large in charge.
All right, here we go, man. I'm gonna bump it right to your mark. You ready?
Of course.
There we go.
Woo!
Holy crap, that was loud.
Woo!
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 He wasn't joking. He really was ready for that thing. Great googly moogly. And it's not just the Kansas City chefs. That was impressive, man. I'll give you little fisticuffs, little bumps up on that bad boy.
Do what I can.
But hey, look, man, it's not just Mark down here in the basement. We are also playing a little Dial a Dude, and we have, that is right, my man Shannon, the Twitter Terminator MacGuffin. We've got him Skyped on in. Yes, sir, baby.
Dropping
what is
bombs,
happening,
son.
Man? Yeah, well, you know. I know how you like to drop those bombs. What is up, dude?
Not much, brothers. What's going on, man?
You know who was dropping bombs? You know who was dropping bombs?
Who?
Come on, this is an easy question for you. Come on. Game three.
Goodness. My man Gary Neal and Danny Green.
Holy crap, that was ridiculous. All right, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to say that was an NBA record.
Yes, NBA Finals record for a team. 16 three-pointers made.
16 three-pointers. For real?
Woo!
That's like a three-point clinic. Look, there's just like a random additional bonus D-Stat woo.
Beautiful, man.
That's fun. You know, this has actually been a really weird series for me. And for anybody that's been following, and I hope that anybody that's a basketball fan, a sports fan, has been paying attention, this is a very interesting series for a lot of different reasons. This is how I kind of look at the Spurs. This is, and people like to talk about the Miami Heat and their legacy, right? You hear that a lot. The big three with Bosch and Wade and LeBron and cementing their legacy, forging their legacy. Well, if you think about the Spurs, people like to talk about them as like this quiet dynasty, you know? And I know they haven't won a championship in a while, but if you talk about the tenure of you know, Popovich and Tim Duncan, and maybe for people that have forgotten, going back to, say, the Admiral, little David Robinson, they've accomplished quite a bit with this kind of core element of this team. And I think it's safe to say they're on the back end, particularly when you're talking about Duncan. I don't know how much longer he's got left. He still plays at a high level, but this, to me, this championship series, this NBA Finals, is a chance for the Spurs to really cement and put a stamp on what their legacy is, to go down in an era of basketball as one of the greats. And go ahead.
I was going to say, San Antonio is more of a we kind of team.
Correct.
Instead of Miami, where it's kind of a me kind of team.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that defines the Spurs. And anytime you get into a real dialogue, when you start talking, look, we're going to talk about a couple of different things as we get into game four. And that's going to be the freshest and the biggest topic here. But one of the things that really separates out the Spurs, if you're going to contrast the Spurs and the Heat, you're going to talk about the coaching, you're going to talk about Popovich, you're going to talk about Spoelstra. But you're going to talk about this element of team. And I think the Spurs have a feel to them that is very team-centric. You've got a lot of players that have spent a lot of time together, that have grown together, that have developed on the floor together. And they also have a long-standing relationship with Popovich. I think that gives them a very interesting dynamic. I don't know if – is there any coach that has a longer tenure in their position in the league currently than Greg Popovich?
Nope.
Nope.
I mean,
and it's not even close.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say he's been there and what? Tony Parker came to the league when he was 19, right?
Yeah.
And so Popovich has been there for all of that.
He got there, I want to say 96 or 97, right before Duncan.
That's a long time. Yeah, we talked about that whole Tim Duncan thing because we had that little Rick Pitino line when he jumped to the Celtics, and you know they looked like they would be in a prime position to draft Tim Duncan. Didn't happen. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
That's a fail horn.
That is a fail horn. But the Spurs have one of the most team-centric feels throughout the league. And, you know, it happens every year. I don't care if you're talking about football, baseball, basketball. There are teams that can push beyond purely because of talent, and they just find a way to get things done because they're that good, they're that talented. And then there are teams that they may or may not be particularly talented, but you know they are extremely cohesive and functional together as a team. It is the proverbial, you know, like the whole, the sum is more than the individual parts. And I think the Spurs are the, you know what I mean, the when you look at them, when you see what the kind of adjustments they make and the chemistry they have, the ability they have to understand each other, to read off each other, to play off each other, and to make the adjustments that they do, that is really heavily based in the amount of time, experience, and just that team cohesiveness that they have. You don't see that as much in the modern era for a lot of different reasons, whether it's salary cap issues or players getting traded, or, of course, in the NBA, players wanting max contracts, things like that. Sometimes you just can't keep these guys together.
I will say this, Justin.
Yeah.
When you have a team like the Spurs, when you mm-hmm. have a guy like Duncan and Parker who are coachable,
mm-hmm.
who allow Greg Popovich to do his job, and he will tear into them just like anybody else, and they take it and they move on and they learn from it. Can you imagine Spoelstra trying to do that on the sideline to LeBron or D-Wade or to Bosch?
Well, you know, that happened in game four. That happened in game four where Popovich did tear into Duncan.
Yeah.
And they had a little clip during one of the commercial breaks. They had this little you know pre-packaged kind of deal that they rolled. Roll that beautiful bean footage. And Duncan was talking about it. And he said, you know, look, you know, Popovich will tear into all of us. It's not a matter of me. There's no player on this team that's essentially, and I'm paraphrasing here, obviously. This is what I got out of it. I can't remember what Tim Duncan said exactly. But the basic deal was that all of the players, didn't matter if it was Duncan or one of the young guys, when something didn't work out, somebody made a mistake, somebody was out of position, whatever, that Popovich would rip into them. And all of them, you know, knew that was, they had to take that and they had to process it and respond. But that nobody was above getting ripped into. Now, I'm not saying you have to rip into players to have a strong team. I think you can look at somebody like Tony Dungy, for example. That was not a guy that was fire and brimstone, but you had a very cohesive team element. But I think the central point here is that the Spurs clearly have these very strong relationships throughout that team, and that's something that is built over time. It's something that's built through the ups and downs of professional sports. Of, you know, for them, obviously, they've had a lot of playoff success, and you forge certain things through that, through the grind of it, and finding ways. And certainly, you've had some players leave. Somebody, I mean, we're going old school, I guess, if we're talking about the Admiral. It really is weird because I know I remember him rather vividly, but he's been out of the league for a while. But just how that team has changed, but you still have this collection of relationships, this sports brotherhood, if you will. And much like we talked about earlier this year with March Madness, we talked a lot about the brotherhood of, say, the Louisville Cardinals. And you can tell when a team has that kind of vibe in that locker room and that belief in each other and that understanding of each other, I think they accomplish way more together. And the Spurs, to me, definitely have more of that than, say, the Miami Heat. This does not make the Miami Heat a bad team per se, but they have a different vibe. I look at the Heat more as a collection of talent that plays together, and I look at the Spurs more like a team of, you know what I mean, that play, oh, yeah, that makes each other better. This is kind of a subjective thing. You can argue about it, but that's on a very base level. That's something that I think really differentiates the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs. Yeah?
Yeah.
I thought Mark looked like he was chomping at the bit to say something, and so I was trying to pass that off, man. We were, like, doing our Olympic track meet, and I had the baton in my hand, and I went to, like totally give that to him, and he just dropped it. What happened?
Or he tried to light it up because he thought it was something.
He thought it was a firecracker? Yeah, maybe. Hell. No, but I really do think that there's a contrast with these teams. And obviously, Miami is kind of flashier. There's a little bit more of the publicity, the marketability. I hate to say Showtime because I think that's really reserved for the Lakers. But they have a certain kind of that, you know, the media market and Miami and look at us and woo and all that crap. San Antonio does not have that same kind of vibe, that same kind of look at me feel.
The Heat are so much more, we're going to do it ourselves. We got, you know, we're a team of individuals and we can take care of it ourselves. And, you know, LeBron will show up big one night, Bosh will show up big another night. But at this point, I think we all know that, you know, Wade, as he showed in this past game, game four, he is, you know, for lack of a better way to put it right now, their X factor. If he can show up that same way for the next few games, the Spurs are in a lot of trouble. I've stated I don't think he does. I don't think he can. I don't trust him. I don't think he's going to necessarily follow completely. But I think that what he showed in this game four, kudos to him. He deserves the credit. I just don't see it happening for the next, you know, couple games.
Well, the thing that's really tricky to me with the Heat, and this was evident, very evident to me in the Pacers series as well, it's hard to know what Heat team you're going to get day in and day out.
Right.
And the regular season is a different animal. And I know there were people that talked about, and look, you have to give the Heat credit for their winning, you know, their win streak, which was phenomenal. They did a lot of fantastic things in a regular season. But, you know, the regular season sets you up for the postseason. It is not the postseason. You do not win the championship for what you did in the regular season. Just ask Peyton Manning. Huh, Shane? Huh, Shannon? I was getting ready to call him Shayton. I was going to hybrid your name with Peyton Manning's. I was going to call you Shayton Manning.
What up, Shayton?
Shayton's man thing. Dude, I don't even know where that's going. Holy moly.
What's in the box?
Shayton's
man.
Yeah, Shayton's man thing. But, you know, the postseason is an entirely different animal. And there were people that complained about the caliber of the opponents the Heat had. And, you know, that's always a fair argument. But once you get to the playoffs, that's where you have to deal with it. Yes, you have whoever you play against. But you look at what some of the issues, if you think back over the NBA playoffs, the Chicago Bulls, who were completely beat up, undermanned, walking wounded, if there was a basketball mash unit this year, I think the Bulls in that series certainly, you know, get that kind of qualifier. They made Miami work to get through that series. Now, granted, they did. Then you go to the whole Pacers thing, and I'd still make the argument that the Pacers essentially gave away the end of game one with some poor decision-making. And, yes, the Miami Heat blew them out a couple of times, but the Pacers did enough in some games to really make me question how good the Heat were. And there's an inconsistency here. And I think that's the root element of looking at the Heat and the Bulls, the Heat and the Pacers, and now we get the Heat and the Spurs. I don't know which Miami team is going to show up on a given night. And I've said to a lot of people, when Miami plays their best basketball, they can beat anybody because they're ridiculous. LeBron James, when he's aggressive and on point, virtually unstoppable. He can score if he wants to. He can distribute the ball. He can play nasty defense. Dwayne Wade in game four absolutely looked like Dwayne Wade from, I don't know, what, 6, 7, 8 years ago?
Yeah.
2006 finals.
2006. I mean, the guy was a defensive monster. He moved well. I mean, I want to say he had a steal, and then he went ahead and just took it all the way down the court and just dunked that thing. He made some very slick moves. He looked spry. The whole team had an entirely different energy to them. Even Chris Bosh. I talked with one of my buddies, actually my cousin Ben. Every once in a while we catch up and we'll either exchange a bunch of text messages or we'll have a phone conversation kind of about what's going on in sports. And I was venting to him really about, we were talking about the Spurs and the Heat. And I said, this was before game four. And I'm like, where is Chris Bosh, dude? Number one, LeBron needs to be more assertive and aggressive and own this thing. I don't know what's up with Dwayne Wade. Is he healthy? Is he hurt? Can he gut out some stuff? I viewed this as a gut check game. And give me a little bit of nastiness out of Chris Bosh. I want to see Bosh do something in the paint. I want to see him do more than, you know, stop and pop for these jump shots. And lo and behold, in game four, what did we get? We got a very aggressive LeBron James, very aggressive, very assertive. We had a dynamic Dwayne Wade looking, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years younger. I think Bill Simmons made an off-the-cuff reference to Dwayne Wade going to Germany for some treatment, which was very funny, by the way. And
got put in Twitter jail for it.
Yeah, got put in Twitter jail for it. And then you had Chris Bosh all of a sudden getting, like, I mean, he was blocking shots. He was very effective in the paint. To me, he was much more aggressive and more assertive. Really, the entire team was. Now, granted, in Game 3, after the Spurs completely embarrassed, dismantled, destroyed, made that entire roster look just incompetent and inept, and Eric Spoelstra was sitting on the sideline just completely like, I don't know what to do. This is not, he looked so helpless. He looked so helpless, dude. But again, that's the thing, man. You know, to me, game one was probably the most competitive start-to-finish game that we've had in this series so far. Game two, the Heat just owned the Spurs. Game three, the Spurs just owned the Heat. And game four was kind of strange because it looked like the Spurs got off to a great start, although they did have that really weird... I mean, for real, how do you have a backcourt violation on the tip-off? Seriously? Seriously, of all teams to have that, Popovich's team, a backcourt violation.
Pretty rare.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. But the Spurs, you know, they looked like they were in charge early. They hit some threes, had a nice little cushion in the first quarter. And then the Heat really just turned it on and rallied on up. Uh-oh, we got some yawns in here in the basement. D-Stat had too many meatballs.
Oh, come on now.
grilled hot dogs. I don't know what happened. But it's the consistency. Whether you're talking about the Bulls series, the Pacers series, now with the Spurs. Again, I don't get it, man. When the Heat play their best basketball, they can beat anybody. But to me, they have a tendency to disappear or start slow. Or it's like they have it's almost like they think they can flip it on at certain times. And then you get into games where you're like, well, I'm going to turn it on, and you just don't turn it on. It's just not there.
I got to tell you, man, the more I watch this series, the less I feel I know about basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Just the adjustments these teams are making. I mean, they're making them good, but they're making them so good that they're blowing each other out. That just sounded really bad.
Hold off. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, goodness.
Don't be
ridiculous. Yeah, alcohol.
Yeah, nice job, buddy.
All right, best of luck.
All right, keep going, Shannon.
But, you know, it's just that first game was kind of like the filling out process, you know, when you watch like a big boxing match or a mm-hmm. UFC match in that first round, they're just kind of filling each other out, filling out the opponent, and then in the next round, you see one opponent go for it, then the next round, it's just like, boom, they're making adjustments just like that, and they're really getting after it.
Really?
Yes, Jim. Really?
Oh, I think.
But it's the damnedest thing, man. I mean, we expected this to be even, and technically it is even because it's 2-2. But the last three games, I mean, have been decided by way double digits.
Well, you know, it's just odd. And again, game one was more of what I expected several of these games to be. More competitive, close at the end. It just hasn't happened. Game two, not that way. Game three, not that way. Game four, not that way. And, you know, you have a given night where one team just looks like they're able to dominate. They're hitting their shots. And I guess what makes it kind of screwy is that one team's having a good night, another team's having a bad night. And technically, game four, I mean, I think game three, we kind of knew that was the Spurs' night.
Oh, yeah.
And game two, I kind of feel like we kind of knew that was the Heat's night, right? Now, game four to me, technically, you know, if we were going to argue about it, I think both teams had their moments. But once the Heat gained control of that game, and I want to say it was roughly a 20-point swing at one point from what the Heat were down to by the time they were settled in with their lead. I want to say it was about a 21-point swing. They looked sharper. They looked more efficient. And every time San Antonio would get a little run together, the Heat did enough to kind of hold it off. They'd get close, maybe they tie it up, but they'd hold it off. They'd deal with that surge, but they never really gave it. They never really relinquished control of the game.
Right.
And the Spurs just didn't. They had enough to get close several times, but didn't have enough to take it over. Now, part of that I would argue maybe is Tony Parker kind of running out of steam in the second half. I think that's a fair point. I think some of it is just the sheer assertiveness and aggressiveness and energy that the Heat brought. Although, it still makes me laugh when I think of the end of the first half. As like Tom's going out. And here we're talking about like Chris Bosh and all the times he's taking the jump shots. And so at the end of the first half, what does he do? He goes and he tries to go ahead and just like go all freaking Space Jam and just drop like nasty McBuckets. It was a beautiful looking jam. It was a beautiful looking. I mean, I was like, that is awesome. Too bad you didn't beat the clock.
You didn't. And the degenerate, and I've told you both this, but I mean, for the degenerates out there, hey, it's been a really tough series to bet. And I'd say that, you know, the public has been widespread because it's been hard to get a gauge of who's got control, who you feel more confident in, because it's been so back and forth, and there's been so many, not just back and forth games, but, you know, back and forth runs throughout the game. That
correct.
It's been hard to gauge even who to feel comfortable with. If, say, you're a half better and you want to bet second halves, it's been so over the all over the map. It's been interesting.
Look, you're going to confuse people because most people are like, I'm going to bet a game. You're talking about betting halves.
I know.
He's a degenerate.
I'm a degenerate, but I'm not really that frequent of a half better in terms of in game, but because I couldn't quite, as much as I've wanted the Spurs the whole series and continue to, I couldn't quite back them the whole game. They're actually slight underdogs going into that game four. The Heat were 1-point favorite. So the first half line was the Spurs plus a half point. So what that means is the Spurs either need to be tied or leading by halftime. So they were down most of that first half after the first stretch and then tied it up right before halftime. Bosch takes that drive. It's all tied up, 3 seconds left. He scores there. The Heat backers at halftime win it, you know, 2/10 of a second late, misses it. I win. It's beautiful. It was fun times.
Well, I'm glad that you won.
Thank you.
Good for you.
We all win.
I don't care about any of that.
Come on. We all win there. We all win.
Did Peter Griffin just call in?
Peter Griffin's always ready to pipe in, man.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
He does.
There you go. There you go. Always breaking news up in this piece, man. But anyway, it really
was kind of funny, though. Dude.
It was, dude.
The one strong move he does, and it's after the buzzer.
Yeah.
Too slow.
I mean, because it really was a phenomenal move. And it would have been, if he had actually gotten that dunk down before the clock expired, it would have been so beast. And by the way, he looked so long on that. That's a terrible expression, I suppose, on this particular podcast. But when he was in the air and going to dunk that ball, his entire body, all of the extension with that dunk, like he should have been doing that. His Velociraptor yell.
He looks like such a Velociraptor.
Yeah, or because you know I love Dan Patrick, right? He cracks me up, and Dan Patrick does this really weird mock like Chris Bosh yell, and he's like, ah! And so in my head, I can totally just I'm envisioning the end of the first half and Bosh just going up to dunk. Full extension with this dunk. Just going in, man. I think it'd be great. But, you know, instead of the Velociraptor yell, the only thing he got was the buzzer. I didn't know that the NBA shot clock buzzer was Jim Rome. That's pretty cool, by the way.
I bet.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. I like that. I'm also a big Jim Rome guy. He cracks me up.
Fact of the matter is.
Exactly. Thanks Jim.
Rome. All right, then.
Yeah.
With that said,
nice job, Chris Bosh. Oh, man. But this really is a weird series. This really is a weird series to me. It's a little bit tough to get a feel for what's going to happen other than if it holds to form, if it holds to form and alternates between the teams, I think we're going to get a game seven. You know, I really firmly believe that Game four was a gut check game for the Heat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it.
Absolutely had to have that game. They needed to respond. And that was a big thing. When the Spurs annihilated them in game three, I mean, that was an embarrassment. For them to rally up and come out in game four the way that they did, that's a gut check. That's a character game. And they needed to do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, if they had lost that game to the Spurs, series is done. There's no way. If the Spurs were up 3-1, there is no way in my mind that the Heat are beating the Spurs three straight.
No.
Stick a fork in them. They're done. Write it off. Take a picture. Write it down. What it makes me think of the movie Friday. What was that line? It was like, take a picture. Write it down. I don't give up. Whoop! You know what I mean? Just get whatever.
When the girl's trying to get some weed.
Yeah. And he's just having fun with that. I love that movie, by the way. That's like one of my all-time.
That's a classic, yes.
Yeah, it's good. For anybody, if you've never seen Friday. First of all,
what's wrong with you if you haven't?
No, I mean, if you're over 30 and you haven't seen Friday, you haven't lived.
Nope.
You got to do it. And Mark, you just make the cutoff because I think you actually are 30.
Dead on the money.
Look at that. That's impressive.
Woo!
I forget how old Shannon is. 32?
33.
Oh, man.
My question.
No, that's not a question, Jim. What happened?
I'm very, very sorry. I really am.
Yeah,
sincerely,
good.
I am.
You should be.
Come on. Don't bullshit me.
Anyway, Friday, a movie that you need to see that needs to be on the bucket list. There's no doubt in my mind, man. Game four was so critical for the Heat. And, you know, we were talking about legacy earlier with the Spurs kind of being this is the back end of really an era for them, and this is a chance for them to cement their legacy and to cement their place for Popovich, for Duncan, for Parker, for Ginobili. We'll get to Ginobili a little bit later for a different reason. But, you know, this is a chance for that franchise and this particular construct of that team to really cement their legacy. Now, the Heat still have a window of opportunity for this series and then potentially some years down the road. It depends on what happens with the team. Obviously, there's rumors regarding Bosch getting moved or some, you know, who knows? Maybe they amnesty somebody. We'll just have to see how that kind of unfolds. But, you know, the Heat they're not in the same position when you talk about a legacy. So this is really an opportunity. And again, this is, again, one of those contrasts between the two franchises, these two teams. The Heat, to me, need this series far more to validate who they are, what they're doing, than the Spurs do. But the Spurs also are in a position that's a little bit different than the Heat, and that is, again, an era kind of legacy. The Heat aren't there yet. I'm not quite sure if the Heat have enough to get this done. I think what Mark said earlier is extremely valid, and that is getting really an effective Dwayne Wade playing off and with an assertive LeBron James, and then just Chris Bosh being more than a guy that's just taking jump shots.
Right.
You know, I'm still not quite sure what to expect out of Tony Parker in game five. I think some of the rust or fatigue or whatever it may have been sinking in with him in the second half, I'm hoping that is out of him in game five. But again, if this holds to form, Spurs are going to win game five.
Right.
I'm thinking that's going to happen. Yeah. Heat will win game six.
Yeah, and then the Spurs will win game seven and, you know, go ahead and bring the championship. And they can just alternate every single game, which is so weird. I'd have to look. Well, we'd have to research this. Has there been an NBA Finals where it has alternated every single game all the way through?
Gosh, I have no clue. None.
All I know is Mark looks like he's getting ready to alternate being awake and being asleep. he's over here with like some shut eye going on. He's like leaning forward into the mic. Look, after all those Jaeger bombs, you're gonna pass out.
Oh, y'all funny. D stats right here.
All right, I'm just checking, man. You kind of were zoning out there for a second, bro.
All I know is I'm actually still taking the Spurs in six.
You're gonna stick with it.
Yes, I'm stubborn. I know that. It could very well go seven. And it has been, it's been weird to me because I've described this many times where obviously the end result of most of the games outside of game one have been blowouts. The final totals haven't been that close, but I've still found it very entertaining series. It's obviously well coached. Obviously the nod goes to Popovich for being, you know, one of the best coaches ever. Spoelstra does well with one of the best, you know, lineups in the country ever, but I lean Spurs. I still think the experience should win out. Game five, huge, mm-hmm. of course. They absolutely have to win. And it's overused to say a team has to win a certain game, but the Spurs, obviously, they can't go down 3-2 going back to Miami. That just
no, that would be a bad setup for them.
So
that'd be a really, really bad setup for them.
But you also know I've said excitedly that in a weird way, if it goes to seven now, I will get to be in my homeland, my Mecca. You know,
you're going to be in Vegas. If they go game seven, D-Stat will be in Vegas if game seven happens.
How amazing would that be? So,
and yes, absolutely. He will be degenerate. He will be somewhere making a bet, somewhere being, I don't know, probably having some free booze and making bets for each half. And actually in Vegas, he might be able to bet per quarter.
Probably.
Well, you never know.
Live bet each
play.
He's going to
be betting per possession.
Yeah, per possession, live play. I will put my life savings of $102 down on something and see what happens.
No, don't do it.
No.
Have Joe Pesci in the desert.
All right. But no, how exciting would that be? So it'll be extremely exciting if that happens. I want the Spurs to win, and I still believe that they can and should. Hopefully for an exciting next couple of games. It should be.
I would like to see, at this point, they've said it a couple of times in post games and some of the interviews and some of the articles that have come out since game four has ended, obviously, but it is a 3-game series.
Yeah. Parker, so key.
Parker is going to be massively critical. I want to see, if the Heat are going to do this, I want to see the Heat team that we saw in game four. I want to see LeBron moving with a purpose. And there were moments in that game. And, you know, Mark and I were talking about this earlier tonight. LeBron is one of those athletes that when he's on point, he looks so ridiculously good that he makes the NBA players around him look inferior.
Yeah.
What I don't understand about LeBron James, and this is the quintessential argument when you talk about people like Kobe or Jordan or LeBron, is on the biggest stage in the biggest moments, do you come up big and do you deliver? And I guess Montana too, right? If we want to make it, throw a random football reference in just for good measure for all you non-NBA people. And what I don't understand about LeBron is why he's relatively putting the MIA, he's not alone, but the Heat putting the MIA in Miami and disappearing. Now, I know you can say, well, some game, look, Justin, sometimes he's a facilitator, he's distributing the ball. That's great. That's great. I'm glad he can pass the ball and whip it across the court. But if your team is not hitting their shots, and you are the superstar, then when your team is not hitting their shots, not delivering, then sometimes you have to pull them up with you. You have to carry the team. You have to shoulder that. And you have to be an aggressor, a smart aggressor. I mean, you can't be completely reckless, but you need to, you know what I mean? You need to own it. And in game four, to me, LeBron owned it. Actually, the whole Heat team owned it. They did. They played like it mattered. They played like they cared. They played like they were angry. They played like they, you know, I mean, it, again, a whole different vibe. That was not there in game three. Although, you know, again, I don't want to discredit what the Spurs did, because the Spurs were just ridiculous. Raining, I mean, threes all over the place. I mean, that was just obscene. 16 threes.
Nasty.
I mean, for real.
Just nasty.
Completely, completely ridiculous. But if the Heat are going to do it, I want to see that Heat team. I want them to clearly and definitively show up, own the matchups, own the moment, and own the series. However, I don't believe that's going to happen. I expect them, much like they've done in the other series in the playoffs, to, again, put the MIA in Miami and disappear. And I don't understand that about them at all. Do either one of you have any idea why Miami does this?
Unless if they're bored and they just want to keep things interesting. I mean,
it's got to be more than that.
That's the only thing I could think of, because, I mean, game three, I mean, they didn't even bother to show up. Game one was you know, like I said earlier, the feeling out process. And then game two, you had to figure Miami was going to come back. There was a great stat I heard the other day on ESPN radio, and it was since January 12th, after a loss, Miami's next game has been a win every time, and the average margin of victory was 19.9 points.
Oh, they rebound like absolute champions. When they eat it, and when they, you know, when they suck the butt and look like a big bag of quit, they show up the next time, all kind of legit. That's fantastic. But
it's a lack of focus.
I mean, that's just a weird, that's a weird thing to look like that one game and then to show up in the next game. If you could do the proverbial D-stat happy medium and get the team somewhere in the middle there, you'd think at this level, at this point of the year, that that would do them more good than to kind of have this complete off, you know, MIA game and then to show up.
Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant wouldn't allow their teams to do that.
No, I absolutely think that Kobe and Jordan, and again, you know, it's an unfair comparison. I mean, I think
it is.
I think if there's anybody that is Jordan-esque in attitude and demeanor, it's Kobe.
Absolutely.
Not the same guy, but I think you can see the parallels. I don't get that same feel from LeBron.
Nah, he's more of a Magic Johnson type.
Yes, I think that's a more apt parallel for kind of his persona. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
But if you're going to be the guy, if you're going to be the franchise, if you're going to be the centerpiece, if you're going to be the superstar, there are times that you cannot defer. There are times that you have to take over a game. There are times that you have to pull your team with you. And that is what I would like to see more when it comes to LeBron. I'm not a LeBron hater. There are things that he's done that I do not like. I'll readily admit that. So I have some biases. But with all the hype and the gloss and all the crap that goes on with LeBron, I would really like to see him answer the question of clutch and answer the doubters by showing up in the biggest moments and really definitively putting a stamp on it and doing something that Kobe or Jordan, or maybe if you went like really old school, some other people, but really owning that. And, you know, the Heat did a tremendous job. That was Bosch. That was Wade. That was, and hell, Mike Miller got a freaking block. And by the way, could Splitter be a bigger liability for the Spurs? Does that guy not understand how to finish off a play? I mean, I kind of halfway feel like Splitter's gotten blocked by everybody.
Pretty much. The towel boy.
Well, I'm ready for Larry Johnson to come out of the rafters wearing his grandma outfit. Do you remember that ad campaign? Yeah, I'm ready for Grandmama to roll up all of a sudden and just go ahead and block Splitter just for good freaking measure, dude. I mean, it's really pitiful.
It is, sadly. He's, and you haven't really seen it out of any of the other players. The Heat and both teams play some nasty defense at times, but Splitter has just, it seems like he's showing himself to be a liability because there's some kind of tell. They know when he's going to try to take it, and he's gotten blocked by, it seems like, just about every member of the Heat.
I mean, it's just, I don't get
strange.
It. I don't get it because there are times, you know, and Mark and I were talking about this outside earlier. There are times when you talk about, and I think since game four is the freshest game, think about the number of times that the Spurs had the ball, they made a pass, they have it down low, and all Splitter has to do is finish off the shot. Dunk it, lay it up, whatever. And he doesn't do it. Not only do they not get points, but it's a turnover, which means they have no chance at a rebound or another possession or to reset their offense. It's just gone. It's done.
And then Miami's in transition where they excel.
Absolutely. And I feel like Splitter, in game four, I'd have to go back and look at the box score, but I feel like there were at least four or five possessions that were almost thrown away by him. Now, you have to give Miami credit, whether it's Dwayne Wade or LeBron James or whoever else was defending. I don't know. I mean, I think Spoelstra even slipped onto the court and blocked a shot by Splitter. I just don't get it, dude. I just don't understand, man. That dude just liability. That when I look at him, that's like the first. That should be the name on his jersey. How do you pronounce his first name?
Tiago.
Tiago. Yeah, it's Tiano. Okay? Because you need to not go to him anymore. It's just not there. Somebody else needs to finish that play. Somebody else. I don't care if it's Boris Diaw. I don't bring somebody else in to finish. I mean, Diaw's got some girth. That's a big boy. I don't know. Yeah, get it to Duncan. Get it to somebody else, man. But, you know, Splitter just, you know, I feel if there's anybody that's getting posterized and taken advantage of and that's really costing the Spurs in this series, it is 100% absolutely Splitter. And, I mean, you know, Popovich came out and talked about the games that the Spurs have lost, and one of the biggest issues is their turnovers. And there was a point in game four, I want to say it was pretty late, and I don't remember who threw the pass, but it was kind of this weird angle, kind of across court, and it should have been maybe within the last three to four, 5 minutes, right in that range. But that was their 18th turnover. That was the Spurs' 18th turnover.
Wow.
And it was a terrible pass. Way too much slop. Again, you always, anytime those things happen, you have to give it the opponent credit for either good defense or taking advantage of the mistakes that the other team makes. But for a Spurs team to have 18 turnovers, and I think Splitter is responsible on some level for some of those turnovers, but more importantly, poor plays that essentially give away other opportunities. Again, you either lose points or you don't convert anything. You're not getting a rebound if he misses. He's not finishing off shots. You don't get a chance to reset. The heater off in transition, getting points. That's a terrible turnaround. Just a huge, when you talk about matchups, that to me is such a liability in this series, and one that the Heat, especially if they're going to play like they did yesterday, are absolutely going to exploit. Just a waste.
Oh, absolutely, and I think we've felt there's a couple of Spurs. There's a couple of Spurs who have not been living up to their billing, and you know, have been fairly costly. And I don't know what's Duncan's been playing great. Parker's been playing great when healthy enough.
He's had his moments. Tailed off a little bit in the second half, but
sure.
You know, a little fatigue, a little hamstring, a little concern. You know, but other people have to step up.
Green's been a machine.
Yeah, you're welcome, by the way.
Amazing.
Oh, you're talking
about... Is that your cousin?
Yeah, you're talking about the other Green.
Yeah.
Hey, look, man, I can't help it if Green is money.
Yeah, you still get credit.
Yeah, for real. I tell you who has not been money.
Who's that?
Is Manu Ginobili.
No, he's not.
Oh, my gosh.
Do either one of you have any idea why this guy is in, like, the NBA Finals Witness Protection Program?
I wish I did. I do not.
You know, because I think
Coach Popovich does.
Yeah, he may. You know, I've joked around about, the inconsistency of the Heat, putting the MIA in Miami from time to time. But where's the last quality Manu Ginobili sighting?
Prior to the finals.
Against Golden State.
Yeah.
What is going on with this dude? Is it psychological?
He's
is it
lost
physical?
Confidence.
Good grief. I've seen people, I've read a lot of articles about this kind of stuff. And obviously I've watched a couple of the games, and it's to the point when you see people talk about Manu Ginobili, they're like, you know, if you're going to put him in when it's not significant and give him about 5 minutes. And if he's not doing anything, pull him back out.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
every time you see him dribble the ball, if you're thinking to yourself, just stop dribbling and pass it. I'm not sure what's going on with the ball handling there, but it's pitiful. It is pitiful.
It's really a surprise. I mean, you know, D-Stat's talking about Dwayne Wade, if he's playing like that, really being an X factor for Miami to help solidify this NBA Finals for them. Given the weirdness that this Finals has been, really other than Game 1, which I think is, from start to finish, the best overall game, when you're talking about competitiveness, obviously if you're a Spurs fan or a Heat fan, you might point to a different game as your favorite game, but if you're a neutral observer and you want a quality basketball game start to finish, the others have not quite lived up to that. And given the issues that the Spurs have, if we're going to argue about the inconsistency of the Heat and we're going to talk about them showing up big. And they did as a team. I think Bosch, Wade, and LeBron had 85 points collectively in game four, which is nasty, by the way. The Spurs obviously are willing to rotate players in. They're obviously willing to exploit different matchups. They're obviously willing to, you know, bring people in off the bench. You know, Boris Diaw is going to be an example of that. And sometimes they're going to need to. We're going to have to see how Tony Parker and his hamstring hold up over the duration of the series. Obviously, that's a huge factor for the Spurs. But where on earth, you know, they've got where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Where in the world is Carmen Ginobili? I mean, I think we're going to have something going on here. Or we can even go like, where's Waldo? And Ginobili needs like a red and white like sweater just on the court to try to figure out what's going on with this dude, man. I completely don't understand when you talk about, and we've acknowledged tonight, the legacy of the Spurs trying to really cement that. You know, when Ginobili's part of that. Ginobili, Peter Parkler. I feel like I'm that dude from, the mayor of Boston or whatever they called him, Wes Welkler. Wes Welkler, or whatever he said. I just totally, Tony Parklered that guy. But anyway, neither here nor there, I suppose. But, when you talk about Parker and Duncan and Ginobili, there's a, little three amigos kind of thing going on right there, right? Where in the hell is Ginobili, dude? Where is his game? Where is his head? Where are his skills? Where is his shot?
Well, where his head's up his ass.
Wow, that's kind of cold.
Well, just wait till they hear the song.
Oh, well, yeah. That's true.
D-stat woo.
D-stat woo. Well, I guess, anytime we talk about Sports Brew O'Clock, yeah, a little D-stat. We haven't had any D-stat woo tonight, other than very early on. Well, we had live in the basement D-stat woo. That was pretty good. And you did, blow the levels on the soundboard. Because you were you had so much extra oomph. I think you had HGH and steroids in that woo.
That was the Vegas is coming woo.
The Vegas is coming. Woo! You were roided out so bad on that woo that Barry Bonds' head was jealous of that beast. That woo.
He was.
That was impressive. Woo! That was pretty beast. But Manu Ginobili, man, I don't understand it. And really, if we're going to say it's a three-game series, if we're going to – and really, look, it's 2-2. So best of seven, what happens going forward? Both of these teams, depending on which team shows up, we can talk about how cohesive and how strong that team vibe is with the Spurs. We can talk about the collection of talent that the Heat have. We can talk about, Greg Popovich in the Batcave, coming up with these different combinations and ways to counter what the Heat do. And I certainly expect to see the Spurs rebound significantly from game four and play much better in game five. And if the series holds to form from what we've seen so far, Spurs win game five. Now, I don't know if D-Stat's going to put any bets or put any money on any of that, but, that would be holding to form. It's just odd to me, if we're going to talk about delivering in that team element, the Spurs really need Ginobili to show up. They need him to contribute. If you're going to have, for example, in game four, if Tony Parker is going to be fatigued or whatever it is, when he kind of disappeared, obviously the Spurs had some issues because he made some ridiculously phenomenal shots in the first half.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he was very assertive, willing to go to the basket. He had a couple of just obscenely phenomenal shots that he was able to just make good on. Going to the floor, flipping the ball up. I mean, just ridiculous to pull some of that stuff off. And obviously, you think of his signature, moment in game one where he is essentially down on one knee and manages to pull off what turned out to be the game winner.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that shot was so ridiculous. You could not script anything like that. It's beyond the realm of possibility to say, hey, TP, you're going to go down on one knee and then you're going to just uncork what's going to be the game winner. There's no way.
Curly Neal was jealous of that shot.
Yeah, for real, dude. So, he's had some beautiful shots, but they needed more of that in the second half. When Tony Parker wasn't able to do that, that was, you know, we talk about opportunity space and situational, and we've talked about this a lot with football, situational football, an understanding when you need certain players to step up or play big or deliver in certain moments. And Manu Ginobili, there's all this opportunity space for Ginobili to deliver, and he has yet, to me, he has yet to do that. And if the Spurs are going to bring this home, somebody's got to step up. If Parker is going to have a slow moment or a down half or a down quarter, maybe they have to protect him a little bit with his hamstring. Maybe the rest of the team goes a little cold, whatever. You know, we talked earlier about, you know, the Heat and superstars and LeBron and somebody being willing to pull a team up and pull a team with them and shoulder certain things. You need your role players and your superstars to have their moments. If somebody's having a bad game or an off game, somebody else has to step up. And right now, they have to cover for Ginobili. And of all the things, if you had told me that a month ago, that here we are in the finals, I would have believed the Spurs made the finals. I would not have had an issue with that. But if you're going to tell me that Manu was going to essentially be like Manti Te'o's girlfriend and be relatively invisible in the finals, I wouldn't have believed that. But that's essentially what we're looking at. And in true Sports Brew fashion, we're going to dedicate a moment of Sports Brewology to Manu Ginobili. But before we do that, I do want to ask both of you, do you think that Ginobili recovers before the finals are over? Is he going to show back up?
Maybe for a stretch. I don't know if he could do it for an entire game.
Do you feel it in your gut, or are you just hopeful?
The basketball fan in me is hopeful.
Okay.
That on this stage, a player that in the past has been so good in clutch situations like a Ginobili gets that one last chance to really step up and deliver.
Okay.
I'd be hopeful, but I don't see it.
You don't see it happening?
No, I think if somebody's, I mean, we're four games in now. If you haven't shown up yet, you may, for brief stretches, you may show up. But to truly show up like you should be able to, like what we've seen you capable of, I don't think it's happening at this point. Something mental is there. Something's blocking it.
Something's going on.
They're going to have to go about business without him.
So I guess Tony Parker better be healthy in a hurry.
He better be.
All right. Well, Manu.
We sing to you.
We've got a little something up our sleeve. And you know how the Sports Brew is, man. From time to time, we break out some ridiculousness. We'll find a way to jack up a song or make something ridiculous or make something obnoxious. Well, sometimes it's just obnoxious.
Lonely Island Sports Brew.
Yeah, you know, Gronk in a Box, or, you know, Farmer Alls, that's an old school reference, or the Flacco Rainbow, or something goofy will erupt out of our evenings. And this is kind of a weird evening because Shannon was actually over here earlier and brought his daughters over. We had a fire pit going. And we were hanging out in the basement. We were going to do some recording here, but, you know, the girls got a little cranky. So Shannon had to go, you know, daddy mode to take them home, put them to bed. And but while we were here, we were working. We had like a little, you know, creativity binge. And time always flies when you're trying to get creative, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just goes out the window. But we were talking about the whole Manu Ginobili situation. And as the Sports Brew likes to do, when there's a song that seems like it fits and we can find a way to spoof it or morph it or completely screw it up or make something ridiculous out of it, it happens. And since Manu Ginobili has found a way to essentially be a non-factor in this particular series, the Sports Brew Collective decided that it was time to give Ginobili a little bit of incentive. At least we hope.
Give him the business.
We had to give him a little bit of the business. Because so far in this series, it just hasn't been there. It hasn't been there. So yes, a Britney Spears song has erupted for Manu Ginobili. And I think Mark said earlier, if you had given him the, like a prop bet about what kind of song would erupt out of the sports bar tonight, the odds on Britney Spears would have been what?
1,000 to 1.
1,000 to 1. Not very good. Pretty low odds there.
Yeah.
But somehow, lo and behold, it has happened. So Manu Ginobili, this brew, my friend, this brew is for you.
Yes, it is.
So San Antonio, we hope you enjoy. We even have lyrics for you. There's a shocker, right? Are you guys ready?
We're ready.
Yeah.
Are you ready? This is probably going to be complete crap.
Of course.
But hey, you know, on the bright side, oops, we can do it again.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, if Britney can, so can we.
That's right.
Remember, this is in the context of Manu Ginobili sucking the butt and looking like a gigantic bag of suck, a bag of quit, living the fail horn. Manu, you've got work to do, friend.
Yes, he does.
So this Sports Brew song, this Sports Brew butchery, these shenanigans, this musical hijinks.
Shenanigans.
This is for you. This is going to be so bad.
I think I didn't again. I made you believe I'd play at both ends.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, it might seem like a slump, but it doesn't look like I'm waking up. Cause to play like a zombie, that's just so Ginobili. Ooh, Manu, Manu, oops, I did it again. I played with no heart, beat down by King James. Oh, Manu, Manu, oops, my game was a dud. Thought I'd play like the glove. I'm not that talented.
Wow. How about that? Dude, Manu.
Manu.
Manu, you just got slaughtered, buddy.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Sorry, Manu.
Really?
Sorry, Manu.
Britney Spears. Manu Ginobili, do you realize what just happened to you?
The Sports Brew just gave you the business.
Yeah, you just got true. The business.
It's your wake-up call.
It is your wake-up call. Oops, I didn't again. It's not did it, because you didn't do squat. The only thing he did again was suck. Oops, I didn't again. I made you believe I'd play at both ends. I like that.
That's solid work.
Failtacular work at Manu Ginobili has helped inspired another Sports Brew song slaughtering. Look, we never said we could sing, okay?
No, of course not.
Never said we could sing.
But Manny, this was your intervention.
This is an interfrention, okay?
Interbrution.
Yeah, this is a brewpocalypse. No, an interbrution.
Interbrution.
A sportser brention. How does that work?
Interbrution. Yeah.
I don't know.
You wake up, Brucian.
Manu Ginobili. That sounds like an internal organ, doesn't it?
It does.
I think I pulled a Ginobili.
Ginobili pulled a Ginobili.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a bad. What would that be? Like, would that be an adverb?
Yeah.
No. It would be an adjective, right?
Both.
Hey, I'm not an English major. I'm a lot of things. I'm not an English major.
Adjective. Yeah.
You want an adjective?
Yeah.
Yeah. I Ginobili'd that thing. Oops, I didn't again. Look, when you come up short or disappear, you just pulled a Ginobili.
We're going to let you know. It's your wake-up call.
I think I did it again. I made you believe I'd play at both ends. Nope.
Playing like a zombie.
It might seem like a slump, but it doesn't look like I'm waking up. You with me, Shannon?
I'm with you.
Because to play like a zombie, that's so Ginobili. Yeah, we had to do some work on that one. Ooh, Manu, Manu. Oops, I didn't again. I played with no heart. Beat down by King James. Look, we're going to give everybody the chance to learn these lyrics before we sing this again, or before we slaughter this again, because you know we're going to do it one more time, just for good measure. Ooh, Manu, Manu. Oops, my game was a dud. Thought I'd play like the glove. I'm not that talented. That's kind of cold for Manu Ginobili, isn't it? That really is hammering pretty hard. Pretty hard.
That's a zinger.
On Manu Ginobili. What do you think, Shannon? It's a little rough there.
Giving him the business.
Personal file, 69. offense. He was giving them the business.
Let's make sure we play like the fucking New York Jets and not some fucking slapdick team.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, for real, dude. You know, Joe Flacco's all kind of hype, but not about Manu Ginobili.
Fucking awesome.
Always remember, if everything else fails, dude, it is the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Damn right.
Sam Jackson.
There it is, man. There it is, baby.
Shut the fuck up, fat man.
Whoa. Whoa, where did that come from?
Sam, whoa.
Whoa, some hostility.
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there, man. We got a little off the rails going on here, dude.
Sam got fired up.
Yeah, Sam did get fired up, man. Good grief. Sam Jackson, man, he's a tricky one.
He's always fired up.
Get the fuck out of my face with that shit.
Nah, dude. We're here.
Well, allow me to retort.
Well, you can retort, man. You can also have another beverage, dude.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Damn, hostility, dude. Absolute hostility. Joe Flacco. We always have a ball with Joe Flacco, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
You said balls.
Yeah, we did. I think we should go out with this.
Yeah, it's got to be the finale.
I think this has to be the finale. I think that's the plan. I think that absolutely is the plan here, man. I'm feeling it. And by the way, did the Spurs let the Heat off the hook?
We let them off the hook.
Did they?
They sure did.
I mean, for real, dude? Holy moly, man. God.
But they are who we thought they were.
No, they weren't. I thought the Spurs would freaking finish that game, man. That's what I thought.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
No.
Woo. Grief, man.
Easy, big man.
Yeah, thankfully we got a little assist out of Jim and freaking Arnold there, man. Good grief.
So don't give me that crap.
There we go. Get a little feisty around here. I like it. I like it.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
We care.
We care, man. We care.
Get some facts and come back and see me.
That's right. Seriously, we did Britney Spears.
We sure did.
Unbelievable, dude. Of all the songs that, like, we were sitting here talking about it, but trying to figure out what to do, and we were bouncing around between, like, random Nine Inch Nails songs and all this kind of stuff, and all of a sudden, like, the brainstorming collective starts the machinations, right? And, you know, you have, like, oh, Shannon's like, what about, I have a really bad suggestion, what about Britney Spears? And then, bit by bit, we have a song, we have a lyric, we have Ginobili fail.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Look, stop. We care. We care. We're just giving people a little context here, man. A little freaking context. There's nothing wrong with that, okay?
You come into our house, you should get your behind kicked.
And you will by freaking Britney Spears, apparently.
No way.
Yes.
Yes way.
All right. At the end of the day, man, I don't know what's going to happen in this series. Do you guys have any predictions? Do you want to call your shots for, like, game five and the duration of the series?
It's gone, I mean, you have to think the Spurs will win this game and the Heat will win game six. And at that point, all bets are off for game seven.
Mark?
The Degenerates has his sole, what's called a future bets, Spurs and six. So I'm going to stay stubborn and say Spurs and six, Spurs win the next two.
Nice.
But I won't be surprised at all if it goes seven. I think the Spurs win the series no matter what.
Period.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
You're staying on the Spurs so train.
Spurs in six or seven.
Well, you know, six. I said, I've said off and on, you know, before the series got cranked up. We just haven't recorded. So I don't have audio proof, but I think I have a post on the Facebook wall. And again, that's facebook.com/sportsbrew. I took the Spurs in six, possibly seven. I'm going to stay with that. I don't have faith that the Heat team we saw in game four will show up for more than one more game in this series. They'll do it again, but they're not going to do it back-to-back, and that is going to be the reason they don't finish the Spurs off. I don't know about Manu Ginobili. we might be revisiting Britney Spears for him. And if the Heat find a way to deliver and Ginobili tanks the rest of this series, Britney Spears is showing back up. For now, though, calling my shots, I'm taking the Spurs game 5. Still taking the Spurs in 6 or 7. I feel it. I believe it. I believe that they'll make enough adjustments. Although, to be fair, given the rate that this is going, it's probably going to be Spurs in 7. But I'm going to stick with the Spurs. I'm going to stick with them, dude. I don't have any prop bets, future bets. Like, I don't have any bets at all on it. Okay, zero.
D-Stat still likes it.
I'm not a better. I'm not a degenerate like D-Stat over here.
Of course not. Who is?
And Shannon's a family guy, so he can't be a degenerate anymore. Can you?
No.
If I could, I'd bring them both fully into the degenerate world. But
yeah, you would.
I'm going to keep working on that.
Yeah, but, you know, Shannon can't gamble away like, you know, his daughter's college fund.
He could. Double up.
Well, no, you shouldn't. Double up. No.
Yeah, could and should are two different words there.
Right, yeah, right. Enough. Let's go ahead and bring this home. Manu, this is for you. We're going to bring this home in Sports Brew style. Classic, ridiculous fashion. You guys get one more stirring rendition on the outro. Yeah.
And really quickly, before you start it.
Uh-oh, what?
I was just going to say, I mean, you know, Manu, I mean, maybe this is motivation for Manu. You show back up, you wake up, and you dominate.
Oh, we'll give you a different
next
song.
Day or two. Yeah, yeah. So this is motivation for you, Manu.
This is motivation. It should be.
Yeah, seriously. Somebody needs to get this to him, because if he wakes up and he shows up and dominates in game 5, we'll back off.
We will totally give you a different soundbite and or song and or something.
Yeah,
if you find a way to show up and get it done and step up big time, but we will hook you up, Manu Ginobili. Yeah,
it's time to wake up. It's all on you.
We will do it.
No pressure.
No pressure. Oh, plenty of pressure. Until then. And through, unfortunately, the bulk of this series, the Manti Te'o girlfriend factor of Manu Ginobili has been strong. Because he didn't again. Here we go.
I think I did it again. I made you believe I'd play it both ends. Oh, baby, it might seem like a slump, but it doesn't look like I'm waking up. Cause to play like a zombie, that's just so Ginobili. Oh, Manu, Manu, oops, I did it again. I played with no heart, beat down by King James. Oh, Manu, Manu, oops, my game was a dud. Thought I'd play like the glove. I'm not that talented.
That's cold. But that's the truth, dude. Ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie. Right now, Manu, the only thing your ball is telling us is that you should not be in possession of it.
You should not be balling.
You should be handling a bag of frozen peas on the bench. That should be the only thing that is in your midst. You should be ball free. ball don't lie.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Worst segue ever. Oh, my God. Manu, get the ball out of that guy's hands and give it to somebody else, dude. Tony Parker, Neil, Green, Duncan, I don't know, Boris Diaw. Somewhere. But I love how that guy rolled off the bench and just, like, drilled a three. That sure was great, by the way.
Manu, that's a wrap, Manu. Step up.
That's a wrap. Really? Yeah. That probably is.
So don't give me that crap.
No, we got to give you that crap. If we have to deal with Manu Ginobili's crap, we got to give you that crap.
I'm the party pooper.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. That's your wake-up call, Manu. That's your wake-up call, man.
You lack discipline.
Get it. Get on the ball. Ball don't lie. We're watching in Game 5 and the rest of this series. We want to see you step up, man, because I think that opportunity is there. Cement your legacy and help cement the legacy of this era for the Spurs. Otherwise, that chip, man, that Miami team, they show up like that. They show up and get like they did in Game 4, man. It's going to make it really difficult for San Antonio. And I personally want to see D-Stat in Vegas. If this goes game seven, if it does, and D-Stat is in Vegas, I absolutely, and he just got a new camera, by the way, I absolutely 100% want to see D-Stat break out the diaper dandy celebration on top of a pickup with some random writing on his face, on his arm, on his chest. Look out for the cops.
I'm a cop, you idiot.
It's Vegas. Send in a request. I'll do it. If it goes seven and Spurs win it, I will celebrate in whatever way you all want.
Oh,
you
my
can't
goodness.
Say no.
I'll happily. Come on now.
I actually think that should be a contest. That should be either a Twitter contest, a Facebook something contest.
Sure.
That should be the Facebook contest.
Do it.
If the Spurs. All right. So D-Stat's going to Vegas. If the series goes to game seven. And the Spurs win in seven while these stats in Vegas.
What does he do?
What does he do? I like this.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
I think D-Stat needs to do the diaper dandy celebratory pickup riding, drunk, ridiculous, dwarf in Vegas, hangover part. I don't know, four. I want to see it. And you're going to have Chris there with you, so he will certainly get you liquored up.
Chris,
our
good sports crew friend, the Donkey. And,
oh, yeah.
I'd be happy to get some strippers along, whatever we want.
Whoa.
I haven't said that.
Whoa.
I said that.
Really?
Screw you.
Hey, screw you, too.
Well, you said strippers, man. I figured that's where you wanted to go with that. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
So long as Jim's not there.
Fat chicks need love, too.
No, thank you. Not in Vegas.
Not in Vegas.
Not for D-Stat.
Well, you must be very proud of yourself.
We'll be after Vegas.
So that I think that's going to be the deal, man. I think we need to bring this up on the Twitter feed and on the Facebook thing. If this goes seven games, we need a celebration for D-Stat. For A, the Spurs. I think we know what it'll be if it's the Spurs. I think you need to do diaper dandy on the pickup truck.
All right.
We'll have to think about what happens if it's the Heat. What do you think?
He's got to dress like Pitbull or something.
Dress like Pitbull? What is this, a freaking Dr. Pepper commercial? No.
It's D-Stat. It would be funny.
It would be funny. I say if the Heat win, he gets tased.
Ouch.
If the Spurs win in seven, he goes diaper dandy because that's what his bet is anyway. So if he loses, if he eats it, and the Heat take it in game seven while he's in Vegas, I think he totally needs to get. Does Donkey have a taser?
No, he does not. But
does he have pepper spray?
We could probably get.
Because that would be some heat. It would be some heat in your face.
Harsh. It's the first night I'm there. I really don't want to be tortured the first time I'm there. But you know what?
Stop whining.
We put it out there for our viewers. Our
okay.
Listeners,
we'll
fans.
We'll take suggestions. We'll take suggestions.
There we go.
I like
maybe
it.
Maybe they're not as cruel.
I like it.
Maybe they're not as cruel as you two.
Who's it? Hey. This is what happens, dude.
Fair enough.
What Mark is really saying is that he wants people to offer him money.
No.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes, because if we said, hey, man, if the Heat win, would you get tased for $100? He'd do it. Would you take a pepper spray in your left eyeball for $50? He'd probably do it.
No. The reality is I'm going to be in Vegas. I'm incredibly excited. I will certainly be updating with pictures and anything you all want to see. It's exciting, but yes, I think it's a good idea. Let's put it out
let's
there for the viewers.
What does D-Stat have to do in Game 7?
Sure.
Game 7 victory. We know for the Spurs, we need to figure out the Heat. I like this. I like where this is going. You may not like where this is going, but I like where this is going.
It's a fun idea.
All right. Well, gentlemen, as always, it's been a pleasure. A little bit of sports brewology. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up, call this a semi-microbrew. Not a complete microbrew, but not a full brew. We're not 3 hours in. It's not 5 o'clock in the morning. We're only an hour and 15 in, and it's only 3 o'clock in the morning. That's pretty good for us.
There we go.
That's pretty good. Only a few beers, a few Jaeger bombs, and a couple of shots along the way, just for good measure. Look, it is the sports brew. Of course, we had a few refreshing beverages.
Of course.
So, Shannon, enjoy the rest of your weekend. I know that you have to go meet the wife up in Maryland after her New Kids on the Block concert.
Yeah.
And say hi to Whitfield when you get up there, because I know he was up there, man. I know he was up there.
He had to be up there.
He was probably up there scalping tickets.
Oh, goodness.
Leave it to the Propecia customer to be scalping something, right? Damn, dude, that was kind of cold.
Woo.
No. Yeah, buddy.
Woo.
That's what happens. Exactly.
Woo.
Yeah, there's a little D-Stat woo for you. But anyway, if you want to get in on the D-Stat NBA Finals contest, you can find us at facebook.com/sportsbrew. You can also catch up with Shannon the Twitter Terminator on our Twitter account, our Twitter feed that is going to be at VA Sportsbrew. If you'd like to get degenerate, as always, you can catch up with the very mighty degenerate. That is the one and only D-Stat Mark D. Thomas, a.k.a. Dwarf, a.k.a. Diaper Dandy after the Spurs victory in Vegas, or the Taser Man. I'm feeling that one, dude. You can find him at D-Stat FTW. Right? There's a little Twitter love for you.
Yes, sir.
As always, you can also track us down on both iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and, of course, livesportscaster.com. Your keywords are going to be, drumroll please, Sports Brew. And go figure, man. If y'all haven't figured that out by now, you probably ought to put the shot glass down, because that's a pretty easy sequence and series and setup to remember.
Put the shot glass down, D-Stat.
Yeah. Well, he already killed it. He's on his no-ho now.
Okay.
He's on his no-ho hangover defense. No-ho. And I'm glad that earlier tonight, Mark actually brought over a whole bunch of this NoHo stuff. He hooked me up with a little bit of swag, and NoHo actually hooked Mark up with some stuff. They gave him, dude, a lighter with a bottle opener in it. Hadn't seen that before, and so he gave it to me, but they sent that to him. And he's got his little collection of NoHo, so we haven't been ridiculous tonight, but we've definitely enjoyed some refreshing beverages. And we did our initial bottle of NoHo earlier tonight as we were hanging out outside, just kind of chit-chatting. I was knocking back a Sierra Nevada. And I forget what Mark was having, probably a Yingling or something. And we're getting ready to take our second bottle of NoHo. This is the Hangover Defense. And I liked how Sarah was like, NoHo, huh? Oh, I guess that stands for no hangover. And it was like, there you go. Hence the NoHo. Exactly. So we're going to see how this works, because we're planning for part two tomorrow after breakfast, if D-Stat and I are functional, thanks to NoHo, the Hangover Defense.
Yes, sir.
We'll see if this works. I'm hoping it does. But have fun. Have fun up in Maryland, Shannon. I know you got a lot going on. Maryland and Kentucky and the Outer Banks coming up. Mark's got Vegas, and I'm just stuck here in Richmond.
Oh,
what a crock! No, it's okay. We'll see what we can work out and have a little fun and maybe squeeze a little bit of stuff in. But as always, thanks everybody for listening and joining in. If you've got some random commentary or anything else you want to add, feel free to track us down. Again, look, Twitter, Facebook, we're around, we're there. Jump into the conversation, throw a little smack. Try not to tase D-Stat unless you're going to offer him money. And as for Shannon, I don't know. We'll have to think of something for him too. I don't know what. We'll think of something good for him. I guess that's about it, man. Unless you guys have any final thoughts, man.
Yes, sir.
No, you're good?
Good for the night, brother.
All right, Shannon. It's a pleasure as always, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Sports Brew, dude, the brotherhood. That's right. Representing proper. Get a little new material up. I enjoyed it. I hope everyone else does too.
Take it easy, Twitter Terminator.
All right, brother. Take care. Enjoy Vegas.
Thank you, sir.
Try not to be buried by Joe Pesci.
No promises.
Let's do it.
Oh, he's going to enjoy Vegas.
Oh.
It's done. It's done. All right, everybody. We're going to catch y'all on the flip side.
Woo.
That's what's up. Yeah, woo. Here you go. Uh-oh. It's a D-Stat Vegas woo.
Woo. Vegas woo.
Yeah, I like it.
Woo.
There
woo.
It is. Do it right, man. Send us out proper, buddy. Do it right, Mark.
I'm on it.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
I want a D-Stat Vegas woo on this piece. You got this junk covered?
Wake up the house.
All right. Don't wake up Schmoyer. Here's your cue. Send us out proper, baby.
All right.
NoHo style, man.
Yes, sir.
Fueled by NoHo. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Here you go.
Woo! 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 Woo!
There you go. All right, y'all. Catch you on the flip side, baby. Sports Brew style, man.
Peace out.
See ya. Bro.